Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A God of Death and Rest by K.M. Moronova, narrated by Alex Knox and Ashley Bryce.
1 week after they took her. Wren. Miserable doesn't begin to describe the fucking joke of my existence. I stare hollowly into the dark cup of tea that Moro's forcing me to drink. Says it will make me feel better, but I really doubt a cup of bitter water will help. My amber eyes aren't as bright as they used to be, and the dark circles under them are enough to make me want to sleep forever. Or have someone hit me with a shovel so I can get a good night's sleep for once. The Hollow Keeper's been off. Rightfully so. I mean, he lost everything. Those hollows were everything to him. His entire purpose is to tend to the beasts, but Violet took everything he loves. She took a lot from all of us. I shift my eyes to my leafless hair. Now it's just dark and empty. I can't stand the sight of it. The sad and good news is that there's been a large influx of new hollows, so at least he's been busy. Thank gods he has Margot to help tame the new rowdy hollows, or he'd probably drag me into helping as well. He claims I have a way with them, as he does, but I just can't let my heart open like that again. Not after Murph. I angle the small mirror I have set on Moro's kitchen table so I can see my head clearly. I cut my hair with a curved knife. The sides are already shaved, and I shorten my hair until it's no more than 3 inches so I can style it. I let my head tilt down once I'm done and sigh. Wren, stop wallowing, will you? We're all hurting, okay? Castian snaps from beside me. Grumpy motherfucker as always. He misses Elodie more than the sky yearns to touch the stars. Death calls to life, endlessly, eternally. But I miss her too. I tap my finger on the oak table as I push the loss of Murph from my weary mind. We can't just leave her there. I run my hand down my face and take a deep gulp of Moro's nasty tea. It fills my mouth with bitter warmth. I slam the mug back down, wincing like I've just drunk fucking ale. Did you know about Aurelius? We all went our separate ways for 1 week. We agreed we all needed the rest, but I don't think any of us got any. It was the longest week of my life. I had to go back home to check in on Marley, and Moro was a head case after all his hollows were gone. Castian just spent his time alone in his death glades. 1 week, now we're here. Castian stands from his seat like a barbarian, nearly knocking over the table and his chair as he growls at me. How the fuck would I have known about Aurelius? I live in my glades alone. And you're the one who served Her Highness and worked beside the golden prick. His eyes are filled with icy fury, but I can see the sting in his gaze. Aurelius was a friend to all of us. We lost more than Elodie that day. I'm about to tell him to piss off, but Moro cuts in. Stop it, you two. He sips his tea like he's got all the time in the world. It's only been a week. I know this is all a lot, but we won't get anything done if we're fighting with one another. Ugh, this guy is so all-knowing. It's annoying as fuck. Well, what are we going to do? We can't just do nothing. Castian crosses his arms and glares at the keeper. Moro raises a brow at him, and the Yostrix rolls his eyes, but sits back down, dipping his head at the Hollow Keeper in apology for his attitude. That's more than I ever get. We're not doing nothing. We're recovering and planning. Do you really think we can just storm in there and save her? The three of us? I take a deep breath before sighing. No. Castian snorts at me, and I glare at him. I know he loves Elodie, but He doesn't know her like I do. I saw how ruined she was during her time in the in-between. My chest feels heavy with the thought, so I shift back to focusing on the plan, grabbing the joint that rests behind my ear and sparking it with Elodie's pink lighter. So, what's the plan, then? I mumble, with the joint between my lips. Castian leans forward. His ebony wings flex behind him as his eyes flicker with an idea. I can steal her away in the middle of the night. I shake my head. She's bonded to Aurelius. Even if we can get her out of there, Aurelius won't let her reincarnate, and I doubt there wouldn't be any repercussions. What if Violet sends her soldiers to kill the Hollows? Why else would she be holding all of them captive? I cross my arms and lean back in my chair, letting a plume of smoke curl from my lips. Moro frowns and nods. I've been worried about that too. Violet has the upper hand, and she knows we know it. We all fall silent at the table as we think. There has to be some way. A sharp knock sounds at the door, and Moro stands to answer it. Castian and I look over our shoulders as he opens the door, and I nearly fall out of my fucking chair. Golden feathers shimmer in the light. I'd know those purple eyes anywhere. Aurelius, what the hell is he doing here? Castian's dark aura immediately spikes in the air around us. Shadows and dark dust dance in the small cottage with his fury. Moro's speechless. Apparently we all are, because no one sang a god's damn thing. Aurelius stands formally, arms crossed behind his back, like he's here on fucking business. His golden wings are radiant with the sun at his back, and his gray hair, tipped in gold, is styled like he's the king of tomorrow. I grit my teeth as the shock starts to dull. Castian stands slowly, his aura becoming heavier with each tantalizing second. Moro raises a hand at Castian and motions for him to sit back down with a hard stare. Castian doesn't sit, but his aura eases a little bit. His silver eyes are filled with rage, too. He lost everything he had because of this asshole, just like we did. Aurelius. Moro snaps his head back to the golden god, studying him carefully. I stand slowly, next to the death god. Castian flicks his eyes to me, and I give him a supportive nod. We won't let this asshole leave here breathing. Moro, good to see you. Aurelius smirks. His amethyst eyes rove over me and Castian like we're just two brooms left in the kitchen. Try us, dipshit. Moro shifts uneasily. Let's cut the shit. Why are you here? He deadpans, his voice lower than I've ever heard it. I know he's got some power within him somewhere, but the bastard is good at hiding it. The blue aura that constantly lingers around his skull and by his temples makes me think he's a gremedy, the spirits of the sea. Aurelius leans against the doorframe and crosses his arms. I bring a message from the High Lady herself. Castian barks a wicked laugh. Our message back will be your bones. Goosebumps crawl up my spine as Castian's death aura spills into the air with malice. I shiver the feeling away. The golden asshole doesn't even look our way and continues on like he wasn't just interrupted. She wants you to know that she's not entirely opposed to finding peace together, that perhaps we can make a bargain. Though, should you intervene and try to save Elodie, Violet will order me to kill Margot first, and then her. I scoff at that, and clench my fists tightly at my sides. Peace? The only peace that will come is if you two are wiped off the face of tomorrow. I snarl at him as I raise my own powers, itching beneath my skin. Thorns start to creep along the walls, and my poisonous thorn whip hangs in my hand. Aurelius shrugs and smiles like this is funny, like we're all just a god's damn joke. Moro raises his hands quicker than I've seen any god move and wraps them tightly around Aurelius's throat as he slams him into the doorframe. Castian and I both lunge forward to help as a knee-jerk reaction, but he doesn't need it. Moro's a badass. Gods, a little sour, are we? Aurelius chuckles, though he seems to be struggling in Moro's grasp. Moro bares his teeth, and his silver eyes become wide with power. Tell me why we shouldn't kill you right now. Aurelius considers him for a moment. One, because you can't. Two, I think it's cute you think you can. Three, you'll kill Elodie through the bond. His smile widens and Castian growls low beside me. Gods, that's right. Fucking Yostrixes and their damn bonds. Don't you want to know the bargain? It entails Elodie being freed and everyone living happily ever fucking after. I glare at him, but I'll bite anything to save Elodie. What is it? Moro and Castian give me hesitant gazes, like I'm crazy for even considering this. But fuck, what else are we supposed to do? Gods know what Elodie's going through right now. I can't leave her there. I won't. Moro slowly releases Aurelius, but keeps his fists closed tightly, like he's going to punch him. The golden god pats Moro's shoulder like he made a good choice. Castian, take a walk with me. I'll give you the details as it mainly pertains to you. He jerks his head for the death god to follow him out, and Castian clenches his jaw tightly before he reluctantly follows. Moro and I watch them from the doorway as they chat behind a cottage down the road. What the fuck could Violet want? I'm so done with the High Lady. Why I ever served her is beyond me. Violet's up to something, I mumble, and flick my eyes over to Moro. He runs a hand through his silver hair and nods. She always is, isn't she? He looks over at me and presses his mouth in a thin line. He looks tired, like really fucking tired. His appearance is young, like all of ours here in Tomorrow, but his soul is old. Have you ever heard of Liesium? My eyes widen as the name swirls within me. Elodie is the one who told me of that place, and I never expected to find what I did there. I nod. Moro dips his chin, his eyes growing distant. I'm going there, once I can get a handle on the new hollows. I think it's time I remember everything. He sounds like it's something he really doesn't want to do, and I don't blame him. The idea of merging with your former consciousness is horrifying to fathom. Do you think that will help? I mumble, as I let my eyes find the two gods again. Castian looks pissed. He's running a hand through his hair, like he's about to start yelling. Yes. Unfortunately. Castian returns, and Aurelius takes to the sky, his golden wings shimmering in the setting sun's rays as he flies back to Nesbrim. Gods, I wanted to at least punch him. The death god looks perplexed, but I see a glint of relief in his eyes, too. Well, out with it. Castian shoots me a look, but sighs as he walks straight to the table to sit. We aren't to step foot in Nesbrim for 7 months. He rubs the back of his head. The bargain begins then, and we're bringing her home no matter what. 7 months? My heart sinks. Moro frowns. Well, what are we doing until then? Castian looks up, his elbows on his knees and his fingers interlaced in front of him. We're going to become unstoppable.
1. Elodie. Tomorrow is as ugly as it is beautiful. I set my palms against the crystal windows overlooking Nesbrim, The cottages below are dusted orange in the sunset's warm glow. I've grown to love the sunsets here. I let a hot breath curl up the pain as Aurelius thrusts his dick roughly into me from behind. A loose smile turns my lips upward with pleasure. It's been 6 months since they took me. 6 long fucking months since I last saw Margot and my friends escape safely. 6 months of harrowing pain and suffering at Violet's hands. 6 months of pure hell. I'm not sure when I broke. Well, broke more than I already was. But after 10-hour days of Violet shattering my bones beneath her heels and bleeding me dry day in and day out, I stopped resisting at some point. I stopped fighting and started to accept it, accept my fate here, and gave in to my body's lust for the one who betrayed me, the one I hate more than anyone else. Because it's better than feeling nothing, isn't it? Aurelius lets out a roar and grabs my hips tightly as he buries himself in my pussy with one last hard thrust. He holds me against his sweaty chest as his dick throbs inside me. I press against the crystal panes and moan in sync with him, feeling every pulse of the ostrich inside me. I enjoy it too much, and it makes me hate myself. I furrow my brows and flex my jaw with annoyance. I hate him. I hate him for what he's made me. He slowly pulls himself from me and I straighten, turning toward him with rage building in my chest. His amethyst eyes shimmer with what he knows comes next. I back him onto our bed. Yes, our bed. We've lived together this entire time, just as he promised we would. He tilts his chin up obediently, and I wrap my hands around his neck tightly. His Adam's apple bobs beneath my palm and sends a surge of heat through me. His gray hair, tipped with gold, flickers in the glow of the suns, and his sharp jawline begs to be bruised. I've become a horribly violent human. Scratch that. Yostrix. He gasps and winces as I squeeze his throat with the fire I feel burning within me. The anger that's been smoldering in the darkest parts of my soul for 6 fucking months. He made me this. He made me wrathful and violent. Because I can't forgive him. Not for what he did. Not for the lies he spun. Or for bonding with me. I'll make him regret every decision he's ever made. Elodie. He rasps through what little air he can get. I narrow my eyes at him and squeeze tighter, feeling the bones beneath his flesh snapping. I feel the pain in my own throat and relish it. Shut up, Aurelius. His purple eyes close and he flinches under me. I loosen my grip and slide my hand over his chest. The pain isn't enough. It never is anymore. Small, scalpel-sized blades of ore arise from my fingertips and cut into his skin just over his ribs. He lets out a sharp cry and grits his teeth as I take a deep breath and hum in the agony that I wring from him through the bond. His raw and deep pain is the only feeling I can wash my soul clean with at the end of the day. If I have to suffer, so should he. He truly is the god of wrath, enjoying every bit of my revenge. He smiles weakly beneath me, and his beautiful features ease my hatred for a moment. I despise him, I do, but my stupid heart still cries for him, still longs for his touch and his blood. But most of all, for the way he looks at me, and for the love I know his heart still carries. He's been enduring everything alongside with me, the torture I face, he faces without batting an eye. I'm never alone with my bonded male, and in a twisted and sad way, I've become reliant on it. I smile back and lean forward onto his bloody chest. I press my lips against his and slip my tongue into his mouth. His hands gently glide up the smooth skin of my lower back. Though I hurt him and abuse him for his sins against me, He's never once been cruel to me. He touches me with kindness and tenderness, in hopes, perhaps, that one day I will forgive him and return to loving myself. But the unfortunate thing is that that girl is dead. She died in the forest on the other side of Brizion nearly a year ago. She turned ashes with the lies and haunted fate she was dealt. Even if some shallow part of me wishes I could be her again, I know that I can't. I'm ruined, rotten, twisted. And though I'm sure he wants that girl back as much as I do, I think Aurelius likes the new me. He loves me, no matter who I am or what I do. I let out a sigh and roll onto my back next to him. Aurelius glances nervously at me. Are you feeling okay today, love? He props himself up on an arm and runs his fingers through my hair gently. I stare at the painted ceilings above us. Gold leaves and vines wrap delicately across the ceilings and hold stone carvings of yastrixes. Yastrixes are held above all other creatures I've learned in my time here. Cypresses and dreadiuses are allowed to participate in court as well. But moss sparrows and other bloodlines are not to rise above commoners and workers around the castle. Yes, why do you ask? I mumble. He raises a brow and turns his chin until my gaze is resting on his. The amethyst glimmer steals my breath every damn time. You seem melancholic today. You're not being as violent as you usually are. He teases and runs his fingers over the wounds I inflicted on him. The bruises and cuts heal as if they'd never existed at all, the skin melding back together like a tape and rewind. I roll my eyes and narrow my gaze. I was just thinking of how much I resent you, that's all. I shrug, and he smiles, leaning in closer to me. I harden my expression, but my heart thumps traitorously for him. You're an awful liar, love. His nose brushes against mine, and I turn to avoid his kiss. His lips press softly on my cheek, and he lets out a sigh. I'll let myself accept the pleasure he offers, his companionship and his kindness, but I won't let him give me his love. Never again. He will never hold my heart. He ruined me so completely, undid all the fixing and gluing he'd managed before his betrayal. You're wrong, I murmur, sounding a lot more somber than I'd like. I glance over at him after he doesn't say anything for a few moments. His sun-kissed skin and gold-tipped hair gleam in the last beams of the sunset. The drops of light dapple his cheek brilliantly, leaving him as the last lit gem in the dimming room. I stare into his gaze, and he gives nothing away, his expression steady and calm. Why do you fight it, love? Fight what? He brings his hand to his chest. I can feel your heart, your feelings. I can feel the pain and suffering that my actions caused you. He looks away, as if his words are stinging his eyes. I know you can feel my pain, too. The remorse and regret. The weight of you rejecting my love. Why are you fighting? I glare at him. He's not wrong, and I hate it. I know he can feel what I've been enduring, and his pain, it's made my own even harder to carry. I don't want to fight my heart. I want to give in. I want to indulge and let myself have this one thing. Him. But if I do that, if I give in, I'm a traitor to myself, to Castian, Margot, Wren, Morrow, and Murph, to all the creatures that are relying on me to bring them back. They've been dead for such a long time, and I don't plan on leaving it that way. I can't leave it that way. Still, there's a small part of me that believes he will release me one day, let my powers truly be mine and free from his grasp. Will you let me reincarnate the dead? Resume the rhythm of the realms? Let me return home to all my friends? Aurelius's lips tighten and his brow furrows. You know I can't do that. That's why I fight. That's right. I needed that reminder, too. My heart yearns for them. I often wonder how they're doing. Who's taking care of Margot and making sure Castian and Wren don't fight? Did they all split up or have their friendships held without me? My heart sinks at the thought of them moving on without me. But maybe they should. I look back toward the window and watch as the last beams of the sun's light withers beneath the mountains. Violet's balcony resides on the back side of the main castle. Unfortunately, Aurelius's terrace has a direct line of sight to it. I still haven't determined if she knows it or not because the distance is at least a few hundred feet, but I watch her each evening as the suns say goodbye to another day. I watch her as she waits until the stars light the sky. She's still waiting for Lucius. At first, I found it fitting for such a cold-hearted bitch, but the longer the days and weeks drew out, and the longer I watched her religiously wait in her solemn silence, I found that it wasn't fitting. It's this very pain and suffering that has made her who she is, the pain that destroyed everything. I wish she would stop waiting for him. Huh? Aurelius sits up and yawns into his palm. I tip my chin up to Violet's silhouette against the somber orange sky. Aurelius follows my gaze and sighs. She will never let him go, love. I grit my teeth. I can't understand why she would stay undyingly loyal to him. He's been gone for centuries. Why? I look into his amethyst eyes. His expression softens and he presses his hand against my cheek. Would you let me go so easily? If you had never betrayed me. But things are different now, aren't they, Aurelius? Pain spreads through the inner walls of my broken organ, and I suppress the urge to clutch my hand around my chest. He gives me the same sad expression that he has had day in and day out for months, and nods in acceptance. I'm so sick of seeing his pitiful look. Let's get some sleep. Violet wants to start early with the session tomorrow. I flinch at the word session. That's what she calls her torture. Maybe it makes her feel better to pretend it's not as horrible as it truly is. That's what we all do, though, I suppose, isn't it? Paint something horrible and dark as something brighter. Hide the rot and blood beneath a blanket of reasons. I nod and lie down next to him. His dark lashes are already falling heavy over his eyes, and his arms wrap around me tightly like they do each night, desperately holding on to times long since gone. I often find myself slipping back to those days, too. But those are our ghosts. Wishes. Ones that we both know will never come true. Sleep pulls at me as I think of Violet's session tomorrow. I've made it my purpose for now to find out what she's collecting my blood for and what she's really trying to get out of all this pain she's inflicting on me. If I can manage that, maybe I can figure out a way to break the bond with Aurelius. 2. Elodie. Violet's bone heels clack against the white tiles. Each step sends a shiver down my spine, and sweat instinctively beads down my forehead. My body knows what that sound brings. It's been ingrained in my marrow. Panic is always the first response to her blood-red eyes and the fiery rage that she still harbors for me. I focus on the walls of the torture room. The court calls this the peace chamber due to the floor-to-ceiling windows that overlook the lands of tomorrow. And apparently, a god of peace used to hold meetings here too. But I only know this place as hell. 3 gigantic white walls and an entire wall of glass. It's insanely bright in here, and the only color seems to be the stains of my blood. I try to calm the trembling in my hands, though I quickly lose that fight. She's coming, and bringing her arsenal of pain with her.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?